This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, good morning, you sexy people. Well, I mean, you know, I assume that. I always assume it's a good party if I know I'm the least attractive person at the party.
Oh.
You know that, right?
So, just like you should be the dumbest person in the room, you should be the ugliest person as well.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sia reads my mind.
Okay.
There we are. That's the way it works. Good morning to you, and especially to you. It's cliffcentral.com on a Thursday. Already the 12th of October, which means we're almost halfway through the month of October, which means you've got 2 months effectively left to get out what you need to get out, because from the 15th of December, forget about it.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, and basically, forget about it. Like, if you don't have your summer body now.
Make your goal date 2018, because it's too late for 2017 now.
Correct. We should just give up.
Yes.
Someone said in the messages yesterday that we've got to send Sia to more festivals because he does interesting things. You know, I know it was a joke and it was ridiculous, but only you could go to a festival and get married. I mean, you're not taking this seriously at all, but I think it's a big deal.
How is it a big deal, though?
Well, look, it's not legally binding or anything, but it may as well have been. You were drunk enough, if there was an actual marriage officer there, you might have done it.
Look, and these days, the law's very slimy, so you never know. Like, technically, I could be legally married. I just read of the story of this guy in Australia who sent his brother a text just minutes before he died saying, like, listen, I'm leaving everything of mine to you. And he died.
Yeah.
And now the courts are saying, hold up, no, sorry, wife, you just take a back seat. This last text says that the brother gets everything.
And it counts. It's a legal, binding thing. Yeah.
So we have video evidence of the fact that I got married. So
yeah, technically it could be pushed that if you find a good enough lawyer.
Yeah. If I find out that this girl is rich, I am rolling with this marriage train.
Do you have your wife's phone number?
We've been in the DMs.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean,
so that's a start.
Phone numbers are so old school in the day.
Phone number, what are you, a dinosaur? Yeah, the old regime?
No, I'm from the Cretaceous era, clearly.
I had the most interesting day yesterday. I went through for a dinner last night at the Joburg Country Club. It was hosted by a club called the 1926 Club. It was founded in 1926. And ooh. Yeah. I was just someone's guest. There was a table of us, and we were all invited by one of the members. And Tlantlanene was there.
Oh,
that's
our
very
former
fancy
finance minister.
Correct. He calls himself. He says, "I'm not a former finance minister. Trevor Manuel is a former finance minister. I'm an ex finance minister."
Okay.
Oh, so if you weren't previously,
no. If you weren't fired, if you weren't fired by the president.
Oh.
But he was very funny. Listen. That is one incredibly smart guy. And I remember we all said so when he was minister. So it's not as if this was a new realization. But seeing him in action, answering these questions, this guy's such a straight shooter. He's such a forthright guy. There was no question he wouldn't answer.
Hmm.
Was
he like giving a keynote address?
It was a Q&A. It was a very good off the record Q&A, and therefore I'm not going to repeat anything and attribute it to him, because that would be breaking the confidentiality of the whole thing. He told some very, very interesting stories about what happened on the 12th of December in 2015.
Ooh.
Yeah, about how he was fired. He said that the meeting of the president lasted 2.5 minutes.
The meeting where he was told that he's being fired. Mm-hmm.
Now, just based on what you guys have told me, doesn't this sort of sound like your meetings with a certain Claudia Mutsuneng as well? That just lost.
I didn't ever have a meeting with her. I never met Claudia Mutsuneng. I went to a briefing he gave us on freelancers once, and I got up like 15 minutes in and left. But Mabale had a meeting. She was called in.
Yeah, we were all summoned.
So, like, what did he say? Did he say that in the 2.5 minutes he was just told it wasn't a conversation?
Halala,
it wasn't
my
a...
Halala. Halala, Limpopo, halala. Halala, Gauteng, halala. Halala, KwaZulu-Natal, halala. Halala, Western Cape, halala.
Well, that took up a minute, and then the rest of the time was just, you're fired.
Yeah, the 90 seconds left there was just done.
Well, you know, again, I can't repeat anything that he said in terms of the exact words, and I won't be able to say how he felt about it, because he didn't really go into feelings on this. He said some really interesting things about how, and we'll get him in here. That's the way to have this discussion. I don't like to relay conversations, you know, to you if you listen to us, but I'd rather just have you hear them yourself and come to your own conclusions. Okay. What I will tell you is that Nhlanhla Nene was the very best kind of public servant. The most honest, sincere, and well-meaning kind of public servant. There are people like that. There are people like that in the ANC. There are people like that in our government right now, even. And unfortunately, they sometimes aren't in the majority. In fact, very often they aren't in the majority. And I heard a couple of interesting things. Do you know that our cabinet, 1/3 of the ANC in parliament is in cabinet? That's how many cabinet ministers we have. 75 members of cabinet.
Doesn't it work to...
Ministers and deputy ministers.
Pardon my ignorance, but doesn't it work to, like, if you are the majority party, you get a certain percentage?
Yeah, okay. So Barack Obama's cabinet was 18 people. Uh-huh. 18, 1-8. Our cabinet is 75 people.
Oh, well. And he's a lot.
He was saying, you know, that's a very difficult meeting to be in. 75 people around a table. You have to hire an amphitheater to host cabinet.
Well,
think about those numbers.
How do you mediate? How do you?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, that means that 1/3 of the people in Parliament who represent the ANC, who represent the people who voted for the ANC, are cabinet ministers or deputy cabinet ministers. That's insane. That's like the most expensive jobs program we've ever had.
Mm.
Huh? And how many of these people do what they need to do? The likes of Faith Mutambi and Mspenzi Zwane, you know? The Ministry of Sport. Do we need a sports ministry? Do we? Really? Like, there's no country I can think of that has a sports ministry. You know, respectable country. I'm not talking about North Korea. A sports ministry? And it's not like we're the best at sport because of our ministry.
Absolutely not.
No. In fact, Ben will tell you, we're crappy at football. We're recently quite crappy at rugby, crappy at cricket. Those are our three main sports, right?
I think...
The things that we're good at are the ones that don't require any kind of intervention and don't get any support from the ministry. Things like swimming and golf and individual sports.
Yeah, I was going to say... Aren't the people in athletics doing a lot better than
Wade Funikak, you know?
Everyone else
in
the sports fraternity?
Right.
I think it must have been refreshing to hear someone who is an insider in the political scene in this country speak so openly, speak so candidly.
Well, he was very straightforward about state capture. There was no umming and ahhing and ifing and butting. He was like, yes, it is clear what's going on. What you were reading in the papers is true.
Shucks.
So that to me was so refreshing because, as you say, you're not used to hearing people who are at that level of politics. I mean, you know, after your president and maybe your deputy president, the next most important person in the country is the finance minister, right? He gets to decide who gets the money.
Mm-hmm.
And he was straightforward as can be. Guy did not mince his words. There was no jumping around, trying to be a politician, none of that stuff.
Ooh, the way I still want to sort of milk you for answers in this situation.
I know, and I will get him in here. That's what we'll do, because Nhlanhla Nene is the kind of guy. Look, he's working for Teba Investments at the moment. Because, of course, the BRICS bank job that was promised to him by the president was all a lie.
Yeah.
He's still waiting for that invitation to head up our delegation to the BRICS bank.
Did he speak of, you don't have to say what he said, but did he speak of his future?
Well, he's working for this investment company at the moment.
Political future?
No. No, he said he's still a member of his branch, the ANC.
Okay.
He's in KZN, and he has no aspirations for the presidency.
Oh.
I don't get the impression that he's massively turned on by politics anymore. I think he's really emerged from this whole thing. He's come out smelling very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he cares about the ANC. I think he cares about what happens in December. But I don't think he wants to. I mean, he in no uncertain terms made it clear that he's not in any hurry to rush back to the post of finance minister, which is our loss. We've lost a good guy. There's so many people in government and in politics that we could do without. And we've lost one that's good. That's the kind of guy we needed.
I would assume he, to a certain extent, felt despondent after a while. When you are trying to change and you are trying to do good and you feel like you're just going uphill and no one's trying to help you up, so you just give up.
I can tell you what he said about Treasury, because this is stuff that's already on the record. He made a speech to the people at the Treasury when Pravin was reappointed, and he was called in by Pravin, and they basically addressed the people who work in the finance department, right?
Okay.
And they said, you know what? You guys are doing a great job. You're protected by laws. You can't dismantle the finance department. There are laws in place that legislation that protects the finance ministry and protects the way that money is dispersed by government. And that would take an enormous amount of effort and machination and complication and political will to ruin. But he said there are such good people working in our treasury at the moment. And even now, there are good people. He said SARS is a different story. But Treasury is something we could be very proud of. And the people who work there are smart. They're among the best in government. They're among the best in the country. And he said they want to do good work. They want to make this country work. They want to save us from a downgrade, which he called a ghastly future. Too ghastly, he said, to imagine.
Ooh.
He said a downgrade would be so painful for the people of this country. But he's optimistic despite all of that. He said that we've been through tougher times than we're going through now with state capture. And, you know, I was driving into work yesterday, and we all get bogged down in the negative stuff. And I'm at heart, I'm an optimist for some stupid reason. I wish I could explain it because it would help me understand a lot. But I looked around and I thought, you know, we get caught up in the day-to-day and we forget that there is a slow, steady progression upwards for everyone.
Mm.
Life is getting better on planet Earth for humans. And even in this country, when you think all hope is lost and things are really looking tough and you think there's no one who cares about you and the economy's in free fall and all that stuff. And a lot of it is practically and objectively true, but it is still better to be alive and better to be in business in South Africa in 2017 than it was in 1993. And we must never forget that. For everybody, for black and for white and for old and for young and for rich and for poor and for, you know, people of different ideologies. Everybody is better off now in 2017. And, you know, we focus on the material and all that other stuff. We have rights. We have a voice. And civil society is more powerful maybe than it's ever been. So that was a fascinating discussion.
Hmm.
I also did a couple of really cool interviews yesterday, which will be playing out over the next few days.
Last and Nhlanhla Nene question, okay. Then I'm done.
All right. No, go on.
Did he discuss or comment on the viral video of him falling? That's all.
No.
With the chair breaking
I wanted to ask him. I mean, that's another reason to get him in here, because no one else will talk to him about that.
We'll give him a stable chair.
Yeah, they're all very
Oh dear.
They're all very like serious people, but I'd like to ask him that because he's got a great sense of humor.
Okay.
And you know, it was a black tie event. So, I mean, this guy looks really good in a suit. He's tall. I didn't realize how tall he was. Hmm. And he's slim. He's a very, statuesque dude.
Oh, but that video was bad.
Yeah, I think that was when he was just appointed deputy minister of finance. Anyway, it was just really interesting to hear the inside track. And we all think that, you know, government works a certain way and that there are procedures and that people will know beforehand if they're going to be fired or hired. And I mean, people don't have any idea. You really are living from one day to the next.
Just like in any other sector, it's all about who you know in government. It's all about your connections. Mm. It's all about knowing the right people. That is where the difference comes.
That's where the difference comes.
I also had that in my head.
Yeah. As our own president would tell us.
Oh, yeah. You want to hear him say it so that absolutely. You know my Lord's not making it up?
Absolutely.
That's what he says. That's his favorite line, isn't it? That's where the difference comes. Here it is.
That's where the difference comes.
There we go.
By the way, how quiet is he at the moment? When last did you hear from him?
Yeah.
He's so quiet because he's paddling like mad. He knows that possible jail time is on the horizon. His candidate's not looking so strong for the next election. So what's going to happen to him? Don't think we're going to get the president doing any wonderful things for the country. He's totally distracted by his own stuff right now. I don't think he's paid attention to anything that he has to do as president for a long time.
I saw Floyd Shivambo of the EFF tweeting yesterday about how the Supreme Court of Appeals, according to Floyd, going to confirm this Friday that the decision that was taken to drop those 783 charges was irrational. So you might very well be right.
It's not 250. What government has done, I think I don't have the figure, it could be between 700 or 800. I mean 780 million rand.
So yeah, maybe the president has got a lot on his mind.
I'll bet you he does. Anyway, we'll talk to Justice Malala later on in the Burning Platform. That's always everybody's highlight on a Thursday morning. And I mentioned the interviews that we've got in the bag that are coming up. Spoke to Stephen Hawking's daughter, Lucy Hawking, who's written a bunch of books, and they've translated them, science books, but for kids. They're story books, but they're about science. They're for kids, and they've been translated into isiZulu and isiXhosa. So that'll be something that I think parents all over South Africa will want to get for their kids. Is that yours, Sia?
This is mine.
It's very important.
Because I'm very professional like that. I still forget to put my phone on silent sometimes.
All right. Hey, it's almost the weekend. Yeah. Hey, Amanda, Sia seems to think that you might be hungover this morning. Is that possible?
No, not at all. I knew that was going to come up because I was wearing sunglasses when
I
came
inside. Yeah, you walked in with sunglasses on.
No, I'm just
a little
dragged
bit tired, herself
so I forgot
in
to
here.
Take them off.
Okay.
But what, no.
What do you mean a little bit tired? What were you doing?
I went to bed at like 7, so I overslept.
What? You went to bed at 7?
Yeah.
What?
I was a bit tired.
So you overslept? Oh, you mean
if
you slept
too
much.
Too long,
I got
then
you.
I get tired.
God, I wish I had your problem.
Mm.
What time did you get to sleep last night, Mubs?
After 10.
Okay. Ooh. Sia, what time you usually get to?
Usually, I am in bed by 10. I fall asleep at like 4:15.
No, I only got home at 11, so I got to sleep at like 12:45.
Ooh, well, you were schmoozing and boozing.
Yeah, I know, sure. That's and it was far away, so it was, you know, a bit of driving.
4 hours already.
You had already been asleep for 4 hours, correct? Yeah. Which was the total number of hours I got.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, just, you know, I need to freshen up for the weekend, and so I thought I need to go to bed early.
I am trying so hard to just, I need to lose like 5 kilograms. It doesn't sound like a lot, right? That sounds doable.
It is doable. It's doable for a summer body.
Oh, yeah, true. Is it 5 kilos in general?
I'm not going to look like any
Thor.
Kind of, I'm not going to look like a men's health cover. Don't get me wrong. This is just to make me acceptable to myself.
Oh.
But that's really all.
I'll look in the mirror and not throw up.
Yeah. No, that's really all that matters, though, is looking acceptable to yourself. That's fine.
All right. Well, by the way, we got lots and lots of entries for – they're not entries. It's not a competition. But we are doing a project with Raise Corp, which we started yesterday with Alon Raise. He came in and we spoke about what they do to incubate businesses and to propel businesses to the next level. And we got a bunch of really, really interesting submissions, which we're making our way through. Just to let you in case you didn't hear it yesterday and you want to participate today or at any other stage in the next week or two. We're looking for businesses that are at a certain level. Maybe you started your business a year, two, 3 ago, and you need to take it up. You need to increase your revenues. You need to scale up the business in terms of your clients, your production, whatever it might be. This could be the opportunity for you to do so. We spoke about Raise Corp and what they do. They have guides in the company who help you with sales, who help you with marketing, who help you with finances, who help you with personal development. And if you are an entrepreneur and you've got a business that is at that stage where it needs a boost and it needs help and you need the guidance and a team around you that can advise you to make the right decisions, this is almost a God-given opportunity. And we would be happy to introduce you to the right people at Raise Corp and help you along. And if we find one or two really amazing businesses and help them take it to the next level, I will be thrilled, as will Alon. And we'd like to see the small business sector in South Africa grow. You know, I interviewed a woman called Claire Bissica, who's written a book called On the Brink. She was the economics editor for the Financial Mail. And we were talking about small business. And it saddens me that Lindiwe Zulu, who's the Minister of Small Business, who we know, and she's been in here once, which is, I think, at least worth a little bit of credit, because most ministers can't come and account for themselves at all. And she did tell us her personal story, which was very, very interesting. But her department, the Department of Small Business, has done, to my mind, and there's very little evidence to the contrary, very little for small businesses. So we're on our own, people. And if you're running your own business, you sometimes feel very alone. I know how that feels. Sometimes you don't have the support that you need. Sometimes there's no one for you to talk to. Sometimes it takes up everything about your life. And you don't need to face this alone. There are people out there who can give you advice, who can help you shortcut things, who can help you scale up. And if we can do that for you with Raise Corp, then please let us know. All you can do, if you'd like to participate, and it's pretty simple if you'd like to, it's partner at RaiseCorp, RaizCorp, .co.za, or is it RaiseCorp.com? I think it's RaiseCorp.com.
We can find it. We can.
Anyway, if you're confused, just send it to, if you don't remember and you can't remember how to spell it or anything else, just Gareth@cliffcentral.com. I'll make sure we forward them through.
.com.
It's RaiseCorp.com. partner@RaiseCorp.com. And you can always email me too. Just copy me in anyway. I'll make sure it goes to the right people. Okay, it's 6:30 and time for us to check in on the 5 things you need to know with Colcacchio's Pizzeria. Armed with a fiery passion for authentic Italian quality and innovation, the Colcacchio's journey began in 1992 when their founders opened the doors on the first flagship Colcacchio Pizzeria. It's that one in the foreshore in Cape Town. See, we went there once.
Yes. And they're now 25 years old.
25 years. Today, they've got over 36 branches nationwide. They've extended their family of stores, and they've got an incredible and energetic team of staff, as well as what they offer you on the menu, which is nothing short of superb. So if you'd like to go to any of the nearest Colcacchio stores to you, and there are plenty all over South Africa, you will find yourself being satisfied, not only in terms of your appetite and your hunger, but also in terms of that cool, classy, sexy vibe that they have going on there. All right. And you know what? If you go to the one in the foreshore, you might even bump into Michael and Kinga, who started the whole thing. Mm-hmm. They still go there every day. And they'll be found in various branches all over the country as well. All right, Mubs, what do we got today?
The latest consumer price index from Stats SA has showed that the price of the following have all decreased since the start of the year.
Prices have come down?
Prices have come down, believe it or not.
No way. In what?
Fuel, Gareth. Now, I know that we had a very recent petrol price hike. When was it? Last week?
Yep.
So that recent price hike might change the stats over time. But since January of 2017 until August, the price of fuel came down by 1.7%, believe it or not.
Yeah. Oh.
Vegetables, oils, fats, bread, cereal, and fruit. All of these things have come down since the start of the year.
Fruit?
Yes.
And bread.
Bread, fruit, cereal, your vegetables, all of that good stuff. The CPI takes a basket of goods and services to see how their price has changed over time. Other things that have come down, telecommunication equipment. The price of that has come down by 8.6% since the beginning of the year. Furniture, household appliances and tableware. The prices that we are paying to stay in hotels has come down since January 2017 by 1.9%.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So products have definitely become cheaper. You were talking earlier about how, you know, even though we do like to complain, things are on the up or things are constantly progressing. So there you go. I don't see meat on this list, and that is because that stuff is just so expensive. The meat has not come down, but most of the products that we consume on a daily basis have come down. Now, the same Stats SA figures have showed that South Africans are spending more money on their beer than on their food, on food like vegetables and fruit and bread and all that other stuff. Huh. 2.1% of total households are spending their money on beer than on anything else.
Oh.
Interestingly, Mpumalanga households like their beer the most. And the price of a 330 milliliter bottle or can of beer is cheapest in the Free State.
Ah, Free State.
Yes. One good thing that I can tell Justice Savage to rub in his face when he constantly reminds me of all the bad stuff of my province.
All he does is drive your province down.
All he does is he throws in Saudi Mutsoneng into the mix.
Yeah. He wants to embarrass you, Mubs. I think it's very rude.
He really does want to embarrass me. And I can't even attack Justice because he's a bounty hunter. Next thing you know, I've disappeared. Y'all don't know where I've been. So you've got to be careful with these kinds of things.
Right.
Okay. Now, in light of the Harvey Weinstein news, mm-hmm. Ben Affleck has come out and apologized for groping an actress while on camera.
Oh.
Hillary Burton is her name.
Nah.
And no, it wasn't a movie set camera. It was on MTV's Total Request Live years ago. The incident took place when Hillary Burton, who appears
in... Who the hell's Hillary Burton?
She's an actress who appears in Fox's Lethal Weapon. I think she was also in... what was that teeny bopper show?
Teeny bopper show? You don't sound old at all when you say that.
You know, there's a teeny bopper show that Ben Affleck was in. This woman called Jesus MC.
I can't remember.
One Tree Hill.
Thank you. One Tree Hill. There you go.
All right.
Anyway, Hillary Burton was a co-host on MTV's Total Request Live.
Yes.
And what happened was apparently Ben Affleck, while greeting her, he groped her breast.
Huh. What? Is that how you greet people?
Well, I don't know.
What a creep.
Now, the only reason that all of this has come out is because Ben Affleck is, you know, he's joined a chorus of many others in Hollywood who have been denouncing Harvey Weinstein's behavior when it comes to women and the sexual allegations that are being launched against him.
Yeah.
And then one Twitter user said, no, Affleck, did you forget about the time that you groped an actress on camera? On MTV's TRL.
Ooh.
And so the actress then, you know, went onto Twitter and said, yes, I remember that. I laughed so nervously because I didn't know how else to react. She says that she was very young at the time. And then Affleck, you know, then took to Twitter to say, yes, I did act inappropriately. And he apologized for that. People will never forget what you do, hey? They will just never forget.
I don't see that they should. I mean, in this case, you know, the guy's going around telling everyone how he's, you know, Harvey Weinstein's disgusting, but meanwhile he's doing similar stuff. Yeah, you got to be careful because if you somehow put yourself on the moral pedestal, and you, this is why I'm very nervous about role modeling.
Yeah, honestly,
when you look at some other human mammal, some other ape, because we're all apes, You look at another ape and you go, that ape is the superior ape. That ape has better morality and a sharper brain. And you put all, you invest yourself in that ape. And that ape lets you down. You have only yourself to blame because it's just another primate. And we must stop thinking that there are some people who are supernatural and have supernatural powers. They don't. We're all going to make mistakes. All of us. There's not a human being on earth who has not made a mistake.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Gareth. They really don't have anything special other than the fact that they have excellent marketing.
Right.
That's really all it is.
And maybe good spin doctors
PR,
to cover their mistakes.
PR, marketing, yeah. They've been marketed well to us.
Yeah.
So we think that they're something special, but they're not. They're humans just like us.
But I want to talk about this Harvey Weinstein thing a little later on. Because there, at one point, there was no one in the world who wouldn't have wanted to be Harvey Weinstein in terms of how powerful he was and the kind of the things he did. He produced movies. What a sexy job. Meanwhile, you see what kind of a life he was living. And there are very few people in the world who would want to be him right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just think about that. You know, when we get jealous of each other because we see someone else as being a multi-billionaire who's got movies being produced and hangs around with all these actors and actresses and can decide whether or not you get an Oscar or not.
Mm.
You know, this is a powerful macher in Hollywood. And then look at him now. You wouldn't want to be him. There's no one who wants to be him right now. Everyone hates him right now. Okay, what else?
A new report has looked at worldwide obesity trends over the past 4 decades, and it has found that obesity in children and teenagers is 10 times higher now than it was back in the 70s, and that 5 years from now, more will be obese than underweight.
Mm.
The research was conducted by scientists from Imperial College London in the United Kingdom in collaboration with the World Health Organization. More than 1,000 researchers examined the body mass index of almost 130 million people living in 200 countries. So this is the global epidemic that we're talking about. Now, this is the largest number of people to have ever been included in an epidemiological study.
Ooh, girl.
So of those participants, 31 million were between the ages of 5 and 19, and 97 million were at least 20 years old. And basically, the results show that childhood obesity rates have gone up tenfold in the past 4 decades. In 1975, there were 5 million girls who were obese. In 2016, that number has skyrocketed to 50 million.
Yo.
And whereas there were 6 million obese boys in the 1970s, that number now stands at over 70 million in 2016.
Mm.
Parents, we're looking at you. You are entirely the ones to blame.
Wow.
They are.
Okay.
Okay. Ooh, this is interesting. So when it comes to men and women's brains, we all know that there are things that separate us on a biochemical level.
No. Uh-oh.
Now, a new small study has suggested that our brains, Gareth, your and mine mine's brains and Sia and mine's brains.
I don't have brains.
Our brains react differently when it comes to helping others. There is pleasure in both giving and receiving, but the question has been asked, does gender influence which of these pleasures we prefer? In women, apparently, part of the brain shows a greater response when sharing money, while in men, the same structure showed more activity when they kept the cash for themselves.
Hold on a second. What are you trying to say?
I am not trying to say this.
What are you, Mabale Moloi, trying to tell us?
This is according to a small study that was published earlier this week in Nature Human Behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, previous studies have shown that women tend to be more altruistic than men.
Uh-huh. I believe that.
Philippi Tobler, who is the co-author of this new study, sees it as women put more subjective value on pro-social behavior and men find selfish behavior more valuable.
Right.
Right, indeed. Is anybody going to try and dispute that?
No, you've got it down.
If I tried to dispute it from my own personal experience, I'd be lying.
Yeah, but then you're okay. So anecdotally, your personal experience supports the study.
Yes.
But and the study is not anecdotal. That would have been a study that would have been, you know, sampling research. They would have carried it out over a number of weeks with a number of people. It's true. And evolutionarily, that would be sensible. Women were the ones who held the unit, the family unit, the tribe together.
Yes, had to consider the husband,
so
the kids.
In the tribe, Mabali and Amanda, let's say, are our women, Sia and Gareth are the men.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be good at this, but just imagine for the sake of the story.
I like the fact that you said we wouldn't be good at this.
Just imagine for the sake of the story that Sia and I have to go out and hunt every day. And Mabali and Amanda have to look after the kids and keep everything else going and make sure that they, you know, they let the fire go out and that the saber-toothed tigers don't come and eat them and that kind of thing. While we're away. Mm-hmm. So we're off hunting. Sia and I really don't talk a lot while we're hunting because you have to keep quiet while you're hunting. We're not that interested in communicating with each other. I don't ask Sia about his feelings. He doesn't ask me about his. We kill something, bring it back to the camp.
Yes.
That's our work done. We go to sleep or we have sex with one of the girls and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
The women have to keep everything together. Now, if Amanda is starving, it is not in Mabali's interests to let Amanda starve. However, if Sia makes a noise during the hunt and scares away the prey, I might kill Sia.
Yeah.
That is at a very basic level
yes.
kind of what's going on. Mabali and Amanda and the other women in the tribe need each other, you know, in case some other men come along and try to, you know, force themselves.
Take us.
Or take the children or steal your supplies or whatever it is. So that there is cooperation there that is necessary and there's communication that's necessary. And because they sit in a group most of the time, they will talk to each other. So they develop skills that are about interpersonal communications
yes.
and connections. And if one of them is suffering, the others will help her. Altruism.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do it for the good of the tribe, but it's also because they feel. Whereas the men don't feel.
We really haven't changed much, hey?
Nope.
We are just...
maybe 200,000 years. That's all we've had. In the clock, if the whole clock from 12 at midnight till 12 midnight the next day,
mm-hmm.
if that's the lifespan of the Earth, all of humanity's only existed for the last 5% of the final minute.
What?
That's how small a role we've played in the last 14 billion years of the Earth's existence.
My goodness.
Now, according to Tobler, who is an associate professor of neuroeconomics and social neuroscience at the University of Zurich, he says that it all boils down to our dopamine systems and how it encodes value. Dopamine plays a fundamental role in the brain's reward system, and it is released during moments of pleasure, yet it also helps us process our values. So for women, those moments of pleasure happen when they are sharing and caring, and for men, those moments of pleasure they happen when they're being selfish and looking out for themselves. So that's essentially what it's about.
I wouldn't use the word selfish.
No, he uses the word selfish, okay. So I'm using the word selfish.
Okay. What the fuck are you saying?
Are you going to argue with an associate professor of neuroeconomics and social neuroscience?
Do you agree with this, my man?
Yes, yes.
I will not be lectured about sexism and misogyny by this man. I will not.
But this is also where I get annoyed because I feel like this is the kind of thing that trips women up and keeps us a step behind. It doesn't always work in our favor to always be thinking about somebody else other than yourself. I feel like women need to force themselves to be more and more selfish as time goes by.
Think of how many women put their children first. And obviously that is an evolutionary thing. You know, the children can live longer than you. They could end up becoming, your own sustenance in later life when you become incapable of looking after yourself. There are all kinds of reasons why it works, but women are obviously much more giving. A woman will save her child rather than herself. Whereas a man perhaps won't. Perhaps.
In a family setup, everybody benefits if the woman is more selfish. Because otherwise, if you're constantly putting everybody else ahead of your own needs, your energy levels are depleted, you're angry, you're resentful, you take it out on everyone. If you just became a little bit more selfish,
mm-hmm.
your you know, you allow more quality time to yourself, which means you're in a better mood. You're in a better state mentally, socially, for everyone's benefit. Like, you're just a better individual all round.
And remember, we've got this idea that all selfish things are bad. I don't agree with that. I don't think being selfish is of itself a bad thing.
Yeah, no, I don't either.
You could do a lot of good in the world for selfish reasons. A lot of people have made millions, which satisfied their selfishness, but they've also contributed hugely to the development of mankind. There are a lot of people who have done things for kudos, for power, for glory, that don't necessarily have anything to do with anything but their ego, but they've done good things. There are people who have... They've got ahead in the world, and they've made a difference in the world because they put themselves ahead of everyone else.
I like to think of it similarly to what they say when you get onto a plane, and they say, in an emergency situation, put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you try to help other people. I can't now be compromising myself trying to help my buddy, trying to help Gareth, when I haven't helped myself first.
Well, you can, but you will die.
You see? We don't want me to die.
The problem is that a lot of morality is predetermined by the fact that people assume selfishness to be evil. And it isn't always. Sometimes selfishness saves you and everyone else. It just depends on every set of circumstances. It's not always the worst way to behave. And being altruistic can be really stupid too. You think you're saving everybody and then everyone gets taken out, you know? You're so busy not looking at the big picture and trying to be everybody's savior and being the hero that you miss the actual threat. That can happen. Anyway.
Yeah, again, I was having this conversation yesterday with a group of women, and, you know, they were saying...
Is this your coven?
No.
Oh.
No. This is not...
Of women's.
This is not the coven, no.
Oh, okay.
But essentially, again, I was being asked, you know, we don't understand why you are so adamant that you're not going to have children. And I said, well, I don't want to be responsible for anybody else. And they said, you're so selfish. And I said, yes, I am. But at least I recognize that.
I think that's unselfish. I'm sorry that they think that about you.
They think it's selfish?
Because she's decided not to use her uterus to make children. They think that that's a selfish move. The selfish move is to foist another child on the world who you might not be the best parent for, or that you might bring into a world that isn't that great, you know? It might be the least selfish thing you can do. If you think that the world isn't a pleasant place and that there are dangers and that there's a likelihood that they will have global warming to deal with and perhaps artificial intelligence that wants to kill people or whatever, you could have an opinion that the world is not a great place to bring a child into.
Mm-hmm.
Wars and famine and all that kind of thing. Then the most unselfish thing you can do is to not have that child. I don't know how they can call you selfish.
No, I'm okay with being called selfish. That's fine.
Yeah, but I don't think they mean it in a good way.
No, but that's fine. That's okay. I mean...
Because you don't care.
I don't.
No. I really don't see how it's selfish, even if it is for financial reasons that you can't take care of someone else, or even if it is a superficial thing where you say, I want to look this good and I don't want to live
my life.
It is your body. It's your decision.
I've never looked at parents with their children when their children are behaving badly and thought, oh, I'm so jealous. Never, ever, ever has that happened to me. And I'm talking about my own brother and his kids. I've never looked at them when their kids are screaming and there's a mess everywhere, and I thought, oh, I'm so envious of his life. Never. Not a once.
I'm just envious of when I see cute kids who look like their parents, because that's the only reason I'm considering having kids, just
you
to have a mini
selfish. You're the most selfish. You're about one degree off of Donald Trump ego-wise.
My little kid and I would be popping all over Instagram in matching outfits.
What a reason to have. Please don't have a child if that's your reason. Please.
Listen, the only bit of sports news that I can give you is...
Sport. Oh, okay. I completely forgot about sport. Oh, wow. Is Ben not here?
Ew.
Oh, shit. Sorry, everybody. I didn't realize Ben wasn't here. Let me check if his mic is on. Hang on. Hello? Ben?
We actually
Hello? Ben? Amanda, is Ben here?
No, maybe he's passed out from all those pills. Just have a look.
He's not on the phone.
No.
Shit, all right. Sorry, we won't be doing sport. You want to throw something in, though?
We actually didn't officially say Ben isn't here.
Sorry.
He's away for today. He'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah. Why do you think we were having some fun with the five things? It usually takes 5 minutes.
Yes. Well, just the fact that the United States have missed out on qualifying for the World Cup for the first time since 1986.
Argentina in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Your Argentina
in. As long as Argentina's in, you're happy.
He's okay.
I got a message from my brother last night. Let me read it to you. This is great. He said, "Do you know Argentina qualified for the 2018 World Cup last night? They played away in Ecuador and were 1-0 down in the first 10 minutes. Then Messi scored a hat-trick and they won 3-1 to qualify. Vamos, Argentina. If they lost or drew, they were out."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the USA are out. They lost to Trinidad and Tobago. Out. Shame. All right, that's it. That's
all right,
it. We're
there's
done.
Your sport.
Wow.
Wait, hang on. Now, let me play the sports music as if you did it. Okay.
Yes.
Right. The sports with my ballet. Yeah. All right, and that's a wrap on that. Over to Sia. All right, Sia, let's go. Come on, it's your turn.
Thank you, thank you. So this morning for Sid by Sia, it's a bit of a story time. So come closer, kids. Let's hold hands. I think this is an awesome, awesome story. So want to hear how just one lost purse got a heroin addict on the path of recovery?
This sounds like you made it up.
I swear. No. This is quite an... true, honest story. So a young guy by the name of Eric McCoy was a heroin addict living on the streets of Baltimore in the US when he found Caitlin Smith's abandoned purse of all places in a shady part of town in an alley. And so little did he actually realize that that one purse would become his key to recovery. So he found the purse and in it there were several receipts, there were utility bills and notes with, you know, belonging to someone just randomly named Caitlin. So though the cash and credit cards were already gone, he was spurred to still try and return the purse to its original owner. So after locating her address...
This is Caitlin. Hi, did you...
Not that Caitlin.
My purse.
Not that Caitlin.
Does it have a condom in it?
No. So he found Caitlin's address on one of the electric bills.
Did I leave my pubic shaver in my bag?
Caitlin Jenner, please get out of my story. Thank you. Where was
I? My size 700 shoe.
Caitlin, this is not the time. Thank you.
Oh, it's not that Caitlin.
No. So heroin addict Eric then began to actually look for Caitlin, went all the way to...
heroin addict looking for someone. Can you imagine how long that took?
Look, here's the interesting thing. Caitlin then says she was just walking with her roommates just down her street, and like this guy walks up to them who looks shady as all hell. He was tattered in this dirty white t-shirt and jeans, and she spotted her purse. So she's like, yo, dude, like... can I actually have my purse back? She even offered
to... probably hit him with it.
No, the thing was, she even offered to buy the purse back. And Eric then just said, listen...
give me my purse, you horrible homeless man.
I'm actually looking for a person named Caitlin because I just want to return the purse back. And then that's when she was like, no, that's me.
Wow.
Look, that's my purse. And so Eric handed it over. And then he told her that he just wants to return it because someone had recently stolen his sleeping bag from the streets where he was living. So he could understand the frustration that Caitlin could have felt. And so, long story short, Caitlin actually reciprocated by helping him buy clothes, a flashlight as well, a new sleeping bag and a backpack, and actually returned him back to where he was. So in the car ride, they got to know each other, and actually Eric told Caitlin his story of how he was a drug user. He explained how he used to run a landscaping business, and after an accident left him unable to work for 3 years. He then got into painkillers, which led to the slippery slope of addiction. And so with that, Caitlin then sort of felt implored to do something about this, actually helped Eric get into a treatment center in Florida, where he's now actually 100 days sober. And like, this gets even crazier.
So she ruined his life.
No.
He was perfectly happy with his heroin.
This gets crazier and even more amazing, because Caitlin then started a GoFundMe page for this Eric guy, and through raising $12,300, they were even able to get Eric to reestablish his company. So Eric is both 100 days sober, and he now has his business back on track. So like, it seems so crazy that one little random purse and just a spur of the moment decision of Eric saying, okay, let me try this good thing out, has actually led him back on the path of good. So I like this. A little time of how
I have a different take. I think Eric the heroin addict was actually, he was going to take,
now 100 days sober.
Yeah, he was going to take the purse and spend whatever was in it. He was on his way to like the dealer to buy more heroin to get his next hit. And then this woman intercepted him, and he was like, oh shit,
I had to do something about it.
Let me just pretend I was going to give it to her.
No. But in the most optimistic part of me, I just think the moral of the story for me is that you just never know what one moment can do for you and how it can change your entire life. Look at him now. More than 100 days sober and has his business back. So that's awesome. That's today's Sit by Sia, which is a bit of a story time.
Oh,
I liked it.
All right. Very nice. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's lovely. What a great story. So Eric and Caitlin, well done to both of you.
And not Caitlin Jenner.
No, not Caitlin Jenner.
Yeah. We don't need to hear
all right,
from
remember
her.
Remember a while ago we were saying that the only One Directioner who hasn't had a song was old Louis Tomlinson, the one who's got the old wife.
The one who's a father, ne?
Yeah.
Are we confusing?
I think
them?
It's him, right? I can never remember which one's
which.
Are
you sure you're not talking about Neil or Niall? Or...
No, Niall has...
He's got slow hands.
Yeah. And he
oh, that's
also
the name
has
of the song, right?
Amanda
yes, you are right. Louis
him.
Has...
So Louis's got the old wife.
Yeah, well, who's in her 30s.
Well, compared to him, he's like 19.
True.
Right? And then he's finally come out with a song. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, here's his song, taking us up to Justice Malala and the Burning Platform, which is next.
This is CliffCentral.com.